It's Nicole Sandler on RadioWeRNot.com.
Questioning authority daily.
The Nicole Sandler Show. To get in touch with Nicole, dial 800-795-1159. That's 800-795-1159. And now, here's Nicole.
All right, it is Nicole Sandler here at RadioOrNot.com, SoFloRadio.com as well. And since we've moved to our newer, earlier time, you know, there are some people on the West Coast who like to sleep in a little bit, and Brad Friedman is one of them. So got him on the line last night, and you got to hear what we talked about. Here we go. Oh, it would help if I turned this up. Hold on. Here we go. Brad Friedman is with us from the Brad blog. And Brad is based in Los Angeles. And so since I moved my show to morning hours, it's way too early in Los Angeles. So we're getting together Wednesday evening to tape something to air on Thursday morning when you're hearing this now. So, Brad, good morning.
Good morning, Nicole. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing great. Good to talk to you. Haven't done so since, when was it? Netroots, Las Vegas, 120 degrees.
We've spoken since then.
Well, that's, not on the air as far as I know.
Yeah. Seriously?
No.
Yes, we have.
Yeah, no.
Have.
No, you haven't invited me. You met me in person for the first time in Vegas. You decided you wanted nothing to do with me thereafter. I was beginning to take it personally.
Oh my goodness, I'm so sorry. I if that's the truth, I'm horrible. Because I thought I had you on all the time.
Oh, it's quite all right. In any case, I was on the road since then until only recently.
That's what it was. That's why. Because you were on vacation.
Well, I was on the road. I only got about 5 days off the grid just last week, and it was glorious, but now I'm back on whether I like it or not.
So you're back on just in time for yesterday's big, or Tuesday's, I should say, last big primary day of the year. And Brad, since you specialize in election issues, usually issues with the voting machines, I take it that this week didn't disappoint.
Well, no, particularly with the big, big news out of Delaware, although it may not be the big news that that you and everybody else have been talking about.
Well, the big news that Christine O'Donnell won the Republican primary in Delaware. She beat Mike Castle, the mainstream Republican congressman, 10-term congressman or something like that. I mean, how long?
Former governor, uh-huh. Much beloved in Delaware, former governor, nine-term congressman. But no, you have it wrong. You said that O'Donnell beat Castle.
That's how the AP called it.
Ask them to prove it.
But because they can't prove it.
Because according to the ballots that can actually be verified, it turns out Castle trounced O'Donnell.
Really?
50.7% to 45.3%. That is based on the verifiable paper-based absentee results.
Wow. So now, what kind of voting machines do they use in Delaware?
Well, they use a system on election day. They use a system, it's essentially a touchscreen voting machine. You guys remember those from down in Florida. Thankfully, you got rid of them for the most part.
Yeah.
The ones they up in Delaware are made by a company called Danaher, a little-known company, though they've had their own fair share of disasters across the years and across the country. They're still using that in Delaware. There's three counties in Delaware. All three use these 100% unverifiable voting machines on Election Day. And on those machines, O'Donnell won 53 to 46%. But on the paper-based ballots, the ones that can actually be verified as having been recorded accurately, Castle won by an almost reverse percentage, 54.7 to O'Donnell's 45.3. So,
wow.
If, in fact, Christine O'Donnell won that race yesterday, maybe she did. There's reasons to explain why she would have come from behind, given the late endorsement from Sarah Palin and everybody else. But if she did win that race, Is it too much for me to ask for anybody to be able to prove it?
Not at all. You know, this is mind-blowing. So the absentee ballots, they've already been counted, I guess, because you have those results, are the almost exact mirror opposite of what the voting machines, the electric touchscreen voting machines are showing. And it's already been proven that those votes can be flipped very, very easily.
That's right. They can be easily flipped. One person can do it in such a way that it will never be traced. And the problem is, even if you and I think that might be the case, and by the way, I have no reason to think that might be the case, because there are perfectly logical explanations for these for the disparities between the absentee paper-based absentee results and the electronic machines. But even if there is an explanation for it, no one could prove it. They can't. Either way, we simply have to. This is perhaps appropriately enough for a candidate like Christine O'Donnell. This is 100% faith-based voting. We simply have to have faith in those machines that they were correct. Nobody can prove it. I can't. You can't. State of Delaware can't. The Danaher company cannot. We just have to go completely on faith. And by the way, we're going to have to do this again on faith in November when O'Donnell faces Chris Coons, the Democratic nominee, who would have been trounced, by the way, most likely by Mike Castle, because he is much beloved. But now Chris Coons has a huge advantage over O'Donnell. I don't know, about 20, 30 points, I think, last poll that I saw. But if she ends up winning on November 2nd, what are you going to do about it, girlfriend? Nothing.
Nothing, because there's nothing we can do, which brings me to the next question, Brad Friedman. Is there any movement afoot to get rid of these obviously faulty machines? And again, as you said, we don't know that there was any shenanigans or any problems in this election, but there very well could have been. Is there any movement afoot to get rid of these things and go back to paper ballots, to voter verifiable ballots that can be recounted?
Well, I would suggest voter verified, not verifiable. Let's, you know, have the voter actually verify them.
Right.
You know, there have been. That's what I've certainly been doing with my life for the last 5 or 6 years, is trying to let people know about the, you know, the dangers. And you call these obviously flawed machines. That's the problem. We don't know if they're flawed or not. In this case, they may be 100% accurate. The problem is nobody can prove it. Nobody can even prove that a single vote was recorded accurately in that election on Tuesday in Delaware. Impossible to prove.
Right.
So as far as movements in Delaware, I haven't heard of any. It's a very small state, not a lot of votes there. It would be real easy, by the way, to simply hand count everybody. There was only about, I think it was 53,000 votes cast yesterday in Delaware. And that would have been very easy to hand count precinct by precinct, where you only have a couple hundred votes in each precinct. So there have certainly been moves across the country, and we have made great headway, frankly, because if you would turn the clock back about 4 years, or five or six years, you would have thought that by now the entire country would be voting on these 100% unverifiable voting machines. The good news is we're not. And in fact, people are getting rid of these touchscreen type machines, the ones that are unverifiable. They're getting rid of those. That's good, but we're still using them in some 20% of the country. Many states use enough of them. You know, some states use them across the entire state. Many states use enough of them that they can easily flip an election. And then the bad news is, beyond that, as if all of this isn't bad enough news for you, Nicole, is that even if we use paper-based optical scan systems, we never bothered to count those ballots. And those two, by the way, as we saw yesterday in New York, particularly in New York City, but across the state, those systems fail, disenfranchise voters. Machines were breaking down. It was their first statewide use in New York of the electronic voting system. They were the last state in the union to convert after the Help America Vote Act of 2002. They have finally gotten rid of all of their lever machines. And they put in place these new optical scan machines. A lot of them around the state are created by this company, this Canadian-based firm called Dominion, who purchased both the Diebold election system outfit as well as Sequoia. Those had been the second, third largest companies. Now, Dominion, this Canadian company that nobody's ever heard of, is likely the, if not the, then the second largest voting machine company in the world. And by the way, they are tied now officially via their purchase of Sequoia to Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez. The company that is tied to him actually owns the intellectual property on all of those Sequoia voting machines that Dominion recently bought this year from Sequoia and then subsequently lied about it, as, of course, we exposed on bradblog.com, and nobody paid attention.
Oh, my goodness. Brad Friedman of the Brad Blog is with us. And, well, see, now, well, it, then if the Republican thinking is correct, then if Hugo Chavez was, you know, he had the intellectual property, he can get in there and tinker with this stuff, and then all the Democrats would win all the races. So, well, obviously that's not happening. But the fact remains that you mentioned, you know, when these private companies own the voting hardware, they also own the software, and they look upon it as basically trade secrets, and so they do not share any of that information with the states that buy the equipment. And if the states had said, well, we think there's a problem, we want to see the codes, they will say, no, that's our intellectual property. You do not have access to that, even though you bought this whole voting system from us.
Yeah. Well, they will say no, or you'll have to go to court to fight them, or some of the smarter states were able to get some sort of agreement with the voting machine companies in their contracts. But even when they had those agreements to be able to look at the source code, two problems. One is that there is never any guarantee that the source code that you look at, even if you look at it and you think it's right, there's no guarantee that the source code you have looked at and checked and approved is actually the source code that is in use on the machines on election day. This is something I have to keep reminding people who say, oh, well, if we just went to open source for our voting machines, all these problems would go away. Well, no, they wouldn't. We would still have no idea of knowing if that source was actually used on election day. As well, there's additional programming that's added to it with every election, which is the programming of the ballots themselves.
Right.
If you screw up the way you enter that data, you know, to program these machines via their memory cards, then it can break the source code. Finally, the other problem that we have, as if those aren't enough, is that even if you have the state or the county, whatever, even if they have an agreement with the voting machine company to be able to look at that information, you, Nicole, can't. You're not allowed to.
Right.
It is a trade secret. You're a citizen. You can't oversee your own elections because these private companies, you know, have been able to pull off this legalized scam to keep you from having your own overseeable representative democracy, your own self-governance. It's insane.
It is insane. The whole thing is insane. And now you mentioned, you know, the optic scan machine. Some states, and the Florida where I live, got rid of the electronic touchscreen machines and went to a system optic scan. So you fill in the little bubble and then you feed it through the machine. But we talked about voter verified voting. That once it goes through the machine, it doesn't show you how it reads your ballot, so you have no way of knowing if it read it the way you marked it. And then Florida law prohibits a hand count, a recount of the ballots once the votes are registered. So they're, you know, we shot ourselves in the foot again.
It continues to be insane. And we had people in New York, particularly in New York City, when they used these systems yesterday for the very first time in the city. The ones they used in the city are made by ES&S, not associated with Hugo Chavez, unlike Dominion in the rest of the state. Rather, is associated with failure in election after election. You know, the voters there were just flipping the switch on their mechanical lever machines, pulling the lever, knowing there was a record of how they voted. They were walking up, filling out the ovals this time, putting them through the scanner, and I had all kinds of people sending me emails and tweets saying, how do I know my vote was counted? And the fact is, you don't, unless you bother to count the actual paper ballots to make sure that the machines were recording it right. You don't know if it was counted. So if you're going to count the ballots to make sure the machines were working, why don't we just count the ballots in the first place? I realize I'm a crazy person for suggesting it.
Oh, you're absolutely insane. Now, you, Brad Friedman is with us from the Brad blog here on Radio or Not and SoFloRadio.com. So now you mentioned the problems in New York. Some very prominent politician's wife had had trouble voting in New York, right?
Yes, indeed. And by the way, so did Chuck Schumer, who was held up about 30 minutes because the machines just wouldn't turn on at all in the morning. And that's not unusual. Governor Corzine had that happen out in New Jersey a couple of years ago. That happens all the time. But in this case, I think you're talking about up in Long Island, Bill O'Reilly's wife. Voting up there, and she made it into one of the media reports that she, you know, felt terrible because people were, you know, standing in line. I don't know if it was dozens or tens or hundreds or what it was, but it was holding them up. And when people can't vote, when they show up and they see these long lines, that in and of itself is disenfranchising. And, you know, if you have a few machines that don't work in an important area, a lot of votes can be affected and an election can be affected. This doesn't happen, by the way, if you vote on paper. If you just get a damn paper ballot, vote on it, and put it into the box. If you have to hold up and wait to scan it through this, you know, you're going to have these problems. So, yeah, so Bill O'Reilly's wife had a problem. So I'm sure this will all be reported. I'm sure they're reporting it all week this week on the O'Reilly factor. He's outraged about it, no doubt. And he's decided to avoid that fake acorn issue, right? That's nonsense. He's not going to pay attention to that anymore. He's going to pay attention to real election fraud concerns.
Of course.
I doubt it.
I doubt it, too. This is really, you know, are there any elected officials who are sort of with us on this? I know, Brad Friedman, you have just done amazing work on this issue for the past many years. But has anybody in Washington actually heard this and has it sunk in? Has anybody trying to do anything about it?
Rush Holt had been, the congressman from New Jersey, had been putting forward what I will generously call a yeoman's effort for the last several sessions of Congress. He's been introducing bills to try to do something. The problem is that the bills he's been putting forward are going to, in many cases, keep much of the same. They're going to give these private companies the right to keep their software secret. Now, his bill does do away with the touchscreen voting systems, the worst of them, the, you know, the completely unverifiable systems.
Right.
Although the current version of the bill would not do that until something like 2014. So, no, you know, most of the candidates who realize we got a problem here are the ones who got screwed by them and lost. Look down at South Carolina.
Yes.
You know, Judge Vic Rawl, this four-term state senator, former circuit judge, he lost, as you'll recall, in the Democratic U.S. Senate primary to Alvin Green, the homeless guy who nobody had ever heard of.
Right.
You know, who's facing felony charges, you know, for obscenity, and had no money, did no campaigning, didn't own a computer, didn't own a cell phone. Somehow he beat Vic Rawl in South Carolina for the, you know, and I need to underscore this, for the nomination to the U.S. Senate. Alvin Green will be facing Jim DeMint this November. How could that happen? Well, across South Carolina, they use only touchscreen voting systems, 100% unverifiable. And so when there was questions about the results and how could it be that Alvin Green won, well, it's too bad, too damn bad. There's nothing you can do about it, Judge Rawl. Get lost. So, you know, he has been an outspoken voice, you know, trying to show that something has gone terribly wrong here, but he ain't an elected official for some reason.
It is unbelievable. Well, I think this is an issue that needs to get attention from a Bernie Sanders or, you know, a Dennis Kucinich, someone who cares about election integrity, who maybe can introduce something into, a law to go back to paper ballots. But then we'd be putting a private company out of business. God forbid. Now it's a Canadian company with ties to Hugo Chavez. Is that such a terrible thing?
A couple of years ago, Kucinich had a bill, I want to say in the, I think it was after 2004 or 2006. He actually had a bill for hand-counted paper ballots in federal elections. So you would count, you know, House and Senate and presidential races by hand in each state. Sounds at this point like a great idea to me, but unfortunately that bill got no traction. And, you know, he's a Democrat, so nobody's going to pay attention to him. And he's a progressive Democrat, so nobody's really going to pay attention to him. Now, if we get to November and, you know, some character like O'Donnell up there in Delaware is, you know, shown in the polls as, you know, in the pre-election polls as winning by 10 or 20 points, and she suddenly loses.
Right.
And the Republicans get ticked off about it. The Tea Partiers get ticked off about it. They call for an end to these unverifiable voting systems. Well, then we'll see change, because that's how change happens, as you know. When Republicans are unhappy about it, then things change.
I hear you.
And let me add just a couple of, very quick headlines of while I was on the road, some extraordinary points in this story that occurred. One, Pac-Man was hacked onto a touchscreen voting machine.
I remember reading that at thebradblog.com.
Yeah, that's right. In this case, it was white hat hackers, good guys, who were trying to show, you know, just how vulnerable these machines were. They, in fact, were able to hack, put Pac-Man, actually have it play on a touchscreen voting machine, one made by Sequoia, a company that's tied to Hugo Chavez, without breaking any of the so-called tamper evident seals. Because that's the other thing you hear about is, oh, these machines are, you know, we put seals all over them. So if anybody goes on the inside, we'll find out about it. Well, that's not true, because they were able to get into these machines without and put Pac-Man on them without breaking the tamper evidence seals. Furthermore, nothing, and I'll be having a story on this very soon from an election official who has essentially admitted that while they have, and he, one who, by the way, uses the exact same machines that Pac-Man was put on, he has admitted to me that, in fact, never mind the tamper evidence seals or not, there is nothing to keep him, the election official, from programming the machines to do and say anything he wants.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the threat is not from the outside. The threat is not from the voters, you and me hacking these machines. The greatest threat in any computer security issues comes from the insiders, in this case, the election insiders, voting machine employees, and so forth. Another story that you may have heard of and underscores another way that these systems are grave threats to democracy. About 2 weeks ago now, all 10,000 e-voting machines in Houston, Harris County, were completely destroyed in a fire. All of them.
Huh.
Early voting begins in just a couple weeks here. And all of the voting machines they used, in this case, they were touchscreen machines made by a company named Hart Inner Civic. They were all destroyed. And, as you can imagine, folks are likely going to be disenfranchised down there in Houston. They're scrambling right now. Harris County is scrambling to get loaners from other states.
Why don't they just print up paper ballots?
Well, that would be too easy, wouldn't it?
Print up paper ballots. Well, let's do an experiment and see how difficult it is for each precinct, once the polls close, each precinct have a few people on hand, and you do the counting, and then you double-check the counting, and then you add them all together, and you get the results.
I've never heard of such. You mean they just mark down who they want on a piece of paper and put it in a box, and then we count it, and that's the results?
What a concept.
I don't understand. It's too confusing.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, We can't do that. She's out there trying to, you know, borrow more touchscreens. She's commissioned Heart Inner Civic to somehow produce something like 3,000 more if they can. They don't have a lot of inventory on hand because all of these companies are pretty much about to go out of business anyway. So they don't have any extra machines. It's crazy. And then moving, moving north just a little bit to Memphis, Tennessee, Shelby County, in a story that I suspect you're going to be hearing more about, 10 candidates, following their recent primary out there in Tennessee, 10 candidates are now suing, have filed an election contest. The results just absolutely made no sense. Voters were kept from being able to cast their votes because it was essentially misprogrammed. Something like 4,000 or 5,000 voters showed up and were told that they had voted already.
Wow.
And as it turned out, they apparently, they say that it was due to an incorrect database, that they had a database from an old election or something like that. But Bev Harris from blackboxvoting.org and Susan Pinchon, a great Florida election integrity advocate from the Florida Election Integrity Coalition, they've been down there in Memphis trying to work with some of these candidates who are suing. They're finding all kinds of problems, double databases in the machine. That makes no sense that you would have more than one database, and votes were apparently moved from one database to another. When they went in there making public records requests, they were denied. Bev Harris and Susan Pinchon found, as is their specialty, they did some dumpster diving,
mm-hmm.
and they found thousands of signed poll tapes in the dumpster. We're talking about, you know, at the end of the day, the election day, they print out a summary of, you know, how many people voted, who they voted for, et cetera, according to the machines. And all the poll workers have to sign off on those tapes, you know, so that they know that they're legitimate. They found thousands of them in the garbage can being thrown away. Unbelievably illegal. You know, that is firsthand evidence of the election. They were throwing them away. I'm not sure what the explanation is for that. It all sort of occurred while I was off the grid last week, a lot of this. So I hope to get an update and have more on this in the future. But an unbelievable mess. I believe Bev Harris called it it was like watching a slow motion bank robbery up there in Memphis. The result was something like 10 candidates, 10 black candidates in black districts, ended up losing for some
odd
reason.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. You know, these are the sorts of messes that we're dealing with. These are the sorts of things, you know, I love talking to you, Nicole, but you and I, we have talked about this issue for years.
Yep.
And the fact that we're still talking about it is insane. And so while I love talking to you anytime I can, every time I can, it's absolutely maddening with so much going on. It's absolutely maddening that we have to keep talking about this, because if we don't, and in many cases, you know, I feel like if I don't write about it at Brad Blog, and there are many other things I do write about there and that I'd like to write about out there, but if we don't talk about this, if we don't get the word out, if citizens don't take action, start yelling and screaming and go Tea Party on their asses when it comes to these voting machines, we ain't got anything that even resembles a democracy. You know, so again, the headline, Mike Castle actually defeated Christine O'Donnell on Tuesday in the GOP primary in Delaware, as far as you know, and I dare anybody to prove differently.
Wow. You can read it all at bradblog.com. I have a link to it from my blog at radioornot.com. Yeah, and you're right, Brad. You and I have been talking about this for years. When is the mainstream media going to pick this up and report on it?
Like I say, as soon as a Republican gets screwed by these systems. And by the way, there have been Republicans that get screwed by these systems. It tends to be in Republican primaries, and I've you know, helped out a lot of these Republicans who have stepped up, who have done the right thing. It's really going to take a high-profile Republican who was a shoo-in to win, and then they end up losing. You know what? I suspect if Alvin Green in South Carolina becomes the next U.S. Senator from South Carolina and defeats Jim DeMint, maybe, just maybe, someone will pay attention at that point. But it's going to take something like that.
I think you're right. He is absolutely right. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com. Always a pleasure to talk with Brad. Actually, we taped that interview last night because Brad is not an early morning riser, and he is out on the West Coast. And since I moved to this earlier slot, it's easier to do it that way. But, I've got links at bradblog, at radioornot.com to Brad's reports. Also up on my site is embedded in there the movie Hacking Democracy. And if Brad's, you know, story on how the absentee paper ballots in Delaware are almost the mirror opposite of the votes registered on those electronic touch screen voting machines, for which there is no paper trail. There is no way to go back and check the votes. No way for a recount. Watch the movie Hacking Democracy and you'll see why this should raise huge red flags. All right. Again, Hacking Democracy, I've got it up on the blog today at radioornot.com. It is, it's a movie that you will watch with your jaw down on your chest. I'm not kidding. All right. I am Nicole Sandler at radioornot.com, soflowradio.com, and talkradio1.com. We're going to take a break. Come back on the other side with some actually really good news out of the Obama administration, and then a conversation on, a story that I can't believe we were talking about in 2010, and that is hunger here in America and worldwide. We'll be right back.
No apologies, no excuses. Nicole Sandler, Radio or Not.